This hour brought to you by Northwest Safe. Nine Democratic candidates for president have qualified for next month's climate crisis town hall, which is going to be on CNN. It's going to air exclusively there. And eight of them have said they will participate. Kamala Harris is one of them who declined the invitation because of, you know, some sort of scheduling issue. Something tells me that she really doesn't know quite how to talk about this issue and she doesn't want to embarrass herself. But you know who was not invited? This dude.
But this is not about one candidate. It's about one planet. And we need to have an adequate discussion of this, which we did not the other night. In 4 hours of debate, the Democratic Party only talked about the existential threat to survival as we know it for about 15 minutes. That does not give America the ability to find out what these candidates say or do not say.
So I suppose from that perspective, the good news is that people will now get a chance to hear from the candidates as to their positions on climate change and what they'd like to do around it, but they won't be hearing it from Jay Inslee, which means we're all winners, right? Jay Inslee's not a winner. I mean, not him.
He's the only one who's not a winner.
Yeah. I mean, everybody else, winner, I suppose, from his perspective. This is embarrassing, yes? The dude who was singularly making this about his campaign, only he was deciding to move forward, only talking about climate change. No matter what the topic was, with the exception of the biggest existential threat to the United States, he said Trump, weirdly, instead of global climate change. But outside of that moment, Jay Inslee has been singularly focused on climate change. He is the one who has called for this kind of debate, and he did not qualify. Nine of the others qualified. He did not. So at this point, when will we, in fact, hear him finally announce he is not going to run for president anymore? He's going to return to Washington State to foul things up even more here. I am kind of wondering what the over... Let's just set the over-under of before... Well, I think by the 28th, they're coming out with who's going to be on the state. Yeah, so 28th. On, before or after, you got to take the over-under on when he announces he's out. Are you going to say before the 28th when they announce the officially the Democratic debate night one of potentially two, or after that?
It'll be before that.
You think so? We're on Inslee watch, which is not for nothing. And then we'll go take a traffic break. But I prepared a whole bunch of jokes for Inslee running for president as I emcee the Washington State GOP dinner. Like I've got really good material that I don't think works as well if he's no longer the candidate for president. I mean, I'll still do some of the jokes and it'll just be talking about how much of a failure he is. But I've got some really good material that I might not get to use on September 13th during this dinner in Bellevue.
Was it the material you ran by me earlier?
Yes.
It's probably for the best.
Okay, okay. Well, like I said, why don't you do better, okay, Mr. Stand-Up Comic over there? There's a reason why I'm the talent, and you're the guy who doesn't know how to push the buttons to get me on the air at 3 o'clock. Now, in fairness to you, we've only done this together for 8 months. In fairness to you.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you did for like a year before that. But in fairness to you, today was a little bit different in that nothing was different.
I don't know what you're saying.
I'm saying the reason why we started 10 minutes late because of the technical issue is your fault.
No, well, it wasn't.
But I'm saying it was.
And maybe when you started pressing every button in sight, that, you know, that didn't help much.
I was told when things don't go right, you're supposed to just randomly push buttons and nothing can get worse than the microphone not turning on.
Yeah, I think we told you that as a joke.
Well, then that's your fault. That's your fault then. You're listening to the Jason Rancho, 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text on the NumBetter Tax Resolution Hotline. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter if you'd like, twitter.com/JasonRants. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? You can't make this up.
So over the weekend, Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, two anti-Semitic congresswomen, they did what anti-Semites tend to do, which is distribute cartoons by Holocaust deniers. I'm sure they had absolutely no idea what was behind this particular artwork, of course. Let's give them all the benefit of the doubt, because it's not like they have a history of expressing anti-Semitic sentiment, right? I mean, to be fair to these two congresswomen, you know, Tlaib has only one time put up a photo of a map in her office of the Middle East, and instead of Israel, she puts a note on top of it that says Palestine. I mean, that only happened once. And yes, they both technically have a history of pursuing the boycott, divest, sanction movement, which is anti-Semitic. But I mean, that's just, this is not that big of a deal, right? I mean, they're just one of a handful of crazies who hold that view. Oh, and then, of course, you have Ilhan Omar and the whole dual loyalty. Oh, Talib also did that. Okay, but Talib didn't do It's All About the Benjamins, Baby, but Ilhan Omar did. So, you know, sounds like they have a history of this sort of stuff. After being barred from Israel for their efforts to destroy and undermine the state of Israel, they both decided to go on Instagram and share the cartoon, the same cartoon, on their feeds, showing Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, silencing Talib, putting a hand over her mouth, and then Donald Trump silencing Ilhan Omar with a hand over her mouth, and then right in the middle, a Star of David, which indicates we're talking about Jews. And then, at least in Ilhan Omar's case, on the Instagram feed, she put up a quote that said, "The more they try to silence us, our voices rise. The more they try to weaken us, the stronger we become. The more they try to discredit us, the truth prevails." Now, the cartoon in question is from Carlos Latif, who's a Holocaust denier. That seems probably a little bit problematic, right? If you're a sitting congresswoman who is trying to push back against the idea that you're an anti-Semite, that you would distribute the guy who came in number two in a contest in Iran for International Holocaust Day. I mean, that just seems a little bit problematic, yes? Even the people who are on her side, right? We can at least acknowledge that it doesn't look good. New York State Assemblyman Dove Hykind, who has been pushing really, really hard against the anti-Semitism from these two, posted a video on Twitter calling it all out.
Two members of Congress who have already indulged in vile anti-Semitism using language reminiscent of Goebbels in Nazi Germany, now using this cartoonist to spread their hate. This same cartoonist is responsible. I mean, the material, it's just unbelievable, including mocking, showing a cartoon of the murder of an American soldier, celebrating the murder of an American soldier. Nancy Pelosi, how much more does America have to tolerate of this anti-Semitism? This latest canard by these two freaking anti-Semites. What are you going to do about this?
Nancy Pelosi is going to do absolutely nothing because she fears these two people, which is an interesting place for her to be, because I've said on the show many times, I do not believe the Democratic Party is a party that's anti-Israel. I think there are members of the progressive wing of the Democratic Party that are absolutely anti-Israel, and of them, the vast majority of them are anti-Semitic. When you push this kind of nonsense, it's because you're an anti-Semite. You hate Jews. That's why. And they're so quick to call out Donald Trump. They're so quick to call out all the quote-unquote literal Nazis wandering the streets of American cities that aren't actually experiencing that. But yet, Nancy Pelosi and others, when given the opportunity to call out the anti-Semitism of Omar in the last instance, they decided to go ahead and just not single her out and her hatred out. Let's just go across the table. Now, of course, Representative Talib today, along with Ilhan Omar, pretending that they're the victims in all of this.
All I can do, as my city's granddaughter, as the granddaughter of a woman who lives in occupied territory, is to elevate her voice.
And by the way, occupied territory in this case, she's talking about the West Bank, which is not occupied territory. Just to be clear, she's under the rule of Hamas, a terrorist organization.
By exposing the truth, the only way I know how.
Humanizing Jews.
As my Detroit public schools teachers taught me. By humanizing the pain of oppression.
She's not humanizing the pain of anything. She is doing this for her own personal brand, and she's hoping that all the other anti-Jewish bigots out there will go ahead and side with her. And yet we're now starting to hear, finally, from quote-unquote mainstream media outlets, or at least in this case Bill Maher and HBO, calling out the nonsense of BDS, which is something that she supports. In fact, she knows that it's against the law. It's against Israeli law for her to go ahead and travel into Israel, because they have a law in the books that says we do not allow entrance to people who are seeking our destruction via the means of boycotting. She knew that going in. She decided to try to go there anyway, because this is the type of person that she is. And Bill Maher and HBO on Friday night called this nonsense out.
BDS is a purity test by people who want to appear woke but actually slept through history class. It's good. Thank you. It's predicated on this notion, I think it's very shallow thinking, that the Jews are in Israel mostly white and the Palestinians are browner, so they must be innocent and correct, and the Jews must be wrong.
And by the way, I've made that point many times on this show, that all of this is only about their view, seeing the white dudes versus the brown dudes, because that's how they see things. They see everything through that lens. And so they see Israelis as white Europeans. Of course, they're not white Europeans. They're not at all. But that's how they're viewed. They're viewed as an extension of Western civilization. And of course, they automatically side then with the quote-unquote brown people. A government of which, by the way, oppresses women, oppresses the LGBTQ community, which all of a sudden they're willing to say, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Because when we look at this in their multicultural lens, in this intersectional lens, one side deserves their attention while the other side does not. It's a big problem with their intersectionality.
As if the occupation came right out of the blue, that this completely peaceful people found themselves occupied. Forget about the infantadas and the suicide bombings and the rockets and how many wars. And let me read Omar Barghouti, is one of the co-founders of the movement. His quote, no Palestinian, rational Palestinian, not a sellout Palestinian, will ever accept a Jewish state in Palestine. So that's where that comes from, this movement. Someone who doesn't even want a Jewish state at all. Somehow this side never gets presented in the American media. It's very odd.
It is very odd, especially because one of the big tropes about Jews is that we own the media. There's usually a conspiracy of Jewish-owned media outlets, and we're pushing. Why isn't this getting pushed? And that's on you guys now to start calling out a little bit better, I think. Because we certainly do it on this show. There are, in fact, a lot of Jewish talk show hosts, for example, whether it's me or Michael Medved or Ben Shapiro or Saul Spady, who point out this nonsense. And yet we don't really hear that from the media outlets over at CNN and the New York Times and MSNBC. They go out of their way to make sure that they give coverage to Rashida Tlaib and present her as this victim in all of it. She is a vicious anti-Semite. It's really that simple. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The sports ball.
Now, the good news is I had one semblance of, like, sanity over the weekend. I pushed aside the Antifa nonsense. I pushed aside the nonsense coming from this anti-Semitic, horrible congresswoman to focus on something that I truly, truly love, which is soccer. And I'm... Okay, no. We started the show late because of your technical screw-up. And now you're taking time away. Just 30 seconds is all I wanted. That's literally all I wanted.
You made 2 points there. Number one, it was not my fault we started late. And number
two, it wasn't
two,
my fault.
You said we had time. We don't. So, I mean, those are two incorrect statements. And
if not for the screw-up, would we have had time?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I'm being punished for something that I had nothing to do with.
What's punished? You're not being punished. You just have to get to traffic. Why are you so dramatic?
I hate you.
Gosh.
I hate you.
You have all day to talk about soccer, and you try to do it when we try to go to traffic, like, every single day. You have all day to talk
about
soccer.
Okay, so then when we come back, can I do some soccer talk?
Well, no.
You just said I had all day.
Right. But up until traffic.
God, I hate you. You're the worst. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text on the NumBetter Tax Resolution Hotline. I guess I had time to give out the text number, but not talk about soccer. Well, you know what? It was a 3-3 draw. How about... Okay, go. Over the weekend in Portland, Antifa showed what they're really about. No, they weren't fighting Nazis. They were looking to justify their violence. We're going to play some of the harrowing audio from this weekend when we come back. You've been listening to What's Trending, brought to you by KeelMortgage.com. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show, 1-800-465-8770. If you want to send me a text on the NumBetter Tax Resolution Hotline, progressives are pretending that we've got Nazis taking over American cities. That on any given day, if you were to go outside right now, maybe you're listening to me in Seattle or Spanaway or Yelm or Bellevue, walk outside and you will spot Nazis, literal Nazis, wandering around, threatening everybody. You are scared to death to take your kids to the park. not because of the crazy homelessness, but because of the Nazis. That's what they actually want you to believe, and that's what they say. And it's much worse, apparently, in Portland. Oh, they talk about it in Portland as if they are literal Nazi Germany there. Like, ooh, I don't know what to say. Can you believe that American cities are being taken over like this? In fact, look over the weekend. A few dozen Proud Boys, alt-right activists, they showed up to pray and I think have a barbecue and then maybe give some speeches and then they left. Surely that justifies the amount of violence that we saw over the weekend, right? I mean, they're just trying, Antifa, to dismantle white nationalism and systematic racism. They're under siege by Nazis. So let's hear them dismantling and going after Nazis.
All cops are bastards.
A-C-A-B.
All cops are bastards.
That? All cops are bastards? Is that what? Hold on. Is that kind of, because they're fighting white nationalism and Nazis. They're going after the police. What?
All cops are bastards.
Oh, I guess that is what they were. That's weird. Is that how they dismantle white supremacy? Is that how they put an end to Nazism? By going up to a black cop and saying he's a race traitor?
Race traitor.
Oh, wow.
The badge designed on everything. The star?
Race traitor? Yeah. For you to be a race traitor?
You'll be part of the neo-colonial machine.
You're part of the neo-colonialism. What is it? The machine? Yeah, that. Oh, okay. So this isn't really about going after Nazis. This is just about going after the cops and then, of course, the right-wing folks who showed up. And let me be clear to the right-wing folks who showed up. Some of them knew that this would lead to violence. Some of them show up. For them, the point is to get Antifa to get physical with them, provoke the violence, which then gives the alt-right folks the opportunity to legally defend themselves with violence. These are people on both sides of the aisle coming together with the intent of causing problems. Now, a hammer was used, and a lot of people are pointing to the fact that the alt-right group had a hammer that they were using, and it was just taken from an Antifa member who then used it to assault the alt-right dude. And that's a big talking point over the weekend coming from progressives with blue check marks next to their name on Twitter. And yet the hammer was only used in defense from the alt-right perspective, but they used it. They had it with them because they thought they were going to need to use it. That sounds like they showed up for a fight. Now, on the left with the crazy Antifa members who are too cowardly to show their face, they use bear spray. They were caught on video unpacking rocks and cement that was being used to attack the folks on the right. Again, calling them out as Nazis, not simply saying what this is really about, which is they do not like that people disagree with them politically, and they bring up the craziest of the crazy to attack the other side.
Blow here.
Hey, I'm just like you, buddy. I'm right here in the same thing.
It doesn't seem that I can feel your spirit.
No,
yeah,
man,
your spirit
I'm not
is not
against,
with us.
I'm not against.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
You don't think that I'm as American, don't you?
No.
You don't think I'm as American.
My
ancestors' motherfucking blood sucks the motherfucking soil.
So did mine, and I respect you.
You understand?
I respect you as a human.
No, I'm not playing
with nobody.
I know your spirit, dude. God,
seems normal.
You need to go.
What is
go? What go? Your thoughts, your energy, motherfucker.
The thoughts and the energy are what turned this guy into the raving lunatic that he was. He would, by the way, later get arrested. And it was weird because when that guy got arrested, he happens to be African-American. People got around the cops suggesting that this was a case of systematic racism, that this is the kind of institutionalized racism that they need to get rid of in Portland.
Predictable.
Yeah, just a little bit. And I believe, by the way, that dude, his name is, I believe, Jamal, is either from Seattle or comes up to Seattle for some shenanigans, because at an Antifa protest last year that I happened to be walking by on the way home from a Sounders game, don't you play that traffic bed, I saw something going on, so I decided to live stream the event to see the two sides. And of course, we saw Antifa members going crazy and acting out violently like we did. This guy was there, and he actually threatened the life of Andy Ngo, the independent journalist from Quillette, who happened to be up here also video streaming the entire thing. So this guy has a history. In fact, oh, look, we got more audio of him yelling at people like a totally sane person.
Why are you filming me? You see what happens? You see what the f*** happens?
Words can be violent. Didn't you know that? Not his words, because he's on our side, but words can be violent. Sometimes when you say words, it hurts. And so the only way to respond is to punch you in the face or throw a rock at you, because words, not our words, but words, your words, can be violent. Now, we're told all about the dangers of being media members. We're told specifically that the rhetoric coming from President Trump in particular, and Republicans in particular, every single time that they chant fake news, you're putting the lives of these reporters on the line. And yet something happened in Portland that I've witnessed and had it happen to me in particular, where we show up to events to cover them. I showed up to a Bellevue event with Ilhan Omar a few months ago. And I noticed that people were following me. One particular person was following me. And he was telling people around me who I was. And it was kind of weird and uncomfortable. And at some point, I turned my video camera to him, my phone to him, and said, I can videotape you too and follow you too. And then I just went about my day. Now, that's a way for them to harass people like me because they don't like what we stand for. But then you've got Julio Rosas, who's a reporter with the Washington Examiner, who's actually going to be on the show at 5:30. He was being followed and he was being threatened and he was being bullied, all because they didn't like that he had an American flag that was in black and white on his shirt.
Statement.
No, it's just what I
black and white flags.
It's just what I wear to protest events when I go cover it.
When you go cover protest events, you wear black and white flags.
I mean, that's just whatever the design is. I mean, it's not to make any statement. It's just not
to make a statement.
It's just an American flag. That's all it is.
You do understand that you make a statement.
I mean, okay.
I mean, when you put on the shirt, you make a statement, whether you intend to or not. You make a statement.
There's two American flags over there.
Yeah, they're not black.
Okay, so what's?
Well, what is your association? You're a journalist.
Yes.
You tell me what the association is with a black and white flag.
I'm not familiar.
You're not a very good journalist, sir, and that's why I'm calling.
I'm honestly lost in the sauce of why. Well, then tell me what it means, since I'm not good at my job. What does a black and white flag mean?
No. You're the journalist. You do the research. That's literally your job. I'm asking you to do your job. You say you come here to do your job.
Yeah.
You're obviously not doing your job.
No.
So I'm asking you to do your job.
I mean,
there's so much audio of Julio being given a hard time. At one point, he was surrounded by either four or five individuals, including the crazy person who can sense your spirit that we played just a second ago, surrounding him, giving him a hard time. Cops had to physically intervene and pull him out, saying that his mere presence there was putting him in a position where they couldn't guarantee his safety. That's happening in Antifa's side. That's happening on the side of the quote-unquote progressives. And part of this is because events like this aren't being properly covered. If you watch at one point Saturday, USA Today was saying and CNN was saying that there was no violence whatsoever at this event, that it was a peaceful. No, it was not. Now, the violence was coming as a result of Antifa, but part of it is because the media doesn't know how to cover the Proud Boys or the Washington 3%ers, groups that I don't personally like. I don't like when they show up to these events, even when they do nothing wrong. I think the reason why they're there is to start something, is to antagonize the other side. Yes, you should be allowed 100% to show up anywhere and not be met with a physical assault, but they're doing it to be intentionally provocative. And yet, even with that context, CNN, for example, has no clue how to cover this. Sarah Seidner, who's a reporter there, was talking with Enrique Tarrio. He's a chairman for Proud Boys in the region. And this is how it all went down.
And explain to me, I don't understand why you're showing up. Is it to antagonize the mayor or the city? Because there are people here.
Now, she asked the question, right? Which is essentially, why are you here? And that would have been an easier way to just answer. But she didn't want to just answer a question. She wanted to provide a lot of details to her viewers at home.
People of color in particular who I've talked to that feel like they're being terrorized because of some of the language that is used by groups like yours.
And by the way, doesn't actually quote anything. I hear from a lot of people on Twitter talking about how Joey Gibson, for example, who's a leader of the Patriot Prayer Movement in Vancouver, he goes to Portland a lot, and they talk about how he's a white nationalist. And so, okay, what has he said exactly that indicates he's a white nationalist? Because I want to know those details. I want to be able to properly talk to him when I talk to him and give you the details. They never seem to give me any quotes
against them. And you all have a history also in Manhattan. There's a case right now where there's videos out there of 10 members of your group or people that are around your group.
They went ahead and they
that's not the way the city.
Okay, so 40 seconds in, she's asked like four different questions and still is yet to allow him to answer.
Fine. That's not the way the city. The political powers of the governor and the mayor of New York, same thing that Ted Wheeler wants to do. I've had an open communication, open dialogue with Portland PD for the past month. And then here we are. There was two different stories. There was Portland PD's story and Ted Wheeler's story. And again, Ted Wheeler needed an axe to grind. So what we did is we came. Our message was bold today. Our message wasn't we didn't stay there. We didn't antagonize anybody. We held our hands in prayer. We bent a knee. And then we went ahead and we left. We sent our message with zero violence.
Now, what I thought was weird in this interview is that she's going on and on about how they believe that folks believe them to be racist, that folks within the Proud Boys and Patriot Prayer and all these groups, they're all just a bunch of white nationalists. And then as she was asking that question, it was there, I was noticing, like, the dude you're talking to isn't white.
A lot of people see the message as one of intolerance, xenophobia, racism. What is the message that you are trying to actually say?
Well, just a second ago, you mentioned people of color, right?
Yeah.
And you said, and I'm a person of color, right? I'm Cuban, yeah. Right? My family, two of my family members got killed in Castro's regime. So it's a difference of opinion, whether it's people of color, white people. It's always about race. Our message isn't today. Our message wasn't about race. Our message has never been about race.
And yet when she had the opportunity to talk with an Antifa protester, she didn't really push all that hard. As I said, you know, there's some criticisms from the right.
Why wear masks?
The main reason we wear masks is so that when the Proud Boys see us, they don't dox us or like release our information and identify us, because we don't want people coming to our houses and interfering with our personal lives.
That's literally what Antifa does. That's literally what Antifa does. We played audio last week of them doxing a guy from the Geo Group, literally giving out the address and location of the church they go to, the school his kids go to. That's what they do on a regular basis here in Seattle. I can find their doxing very easily. Now, I get why they fear that Proud Boys might dox them. Maybe they will. Maybe they will, because you literally dox them and no pushback at all from CNN there. Is that okay? You know, it is what it is. The double standard in how they cover these events is insane. And unfortunately, what it does is push forward this ridiculous narrative that these people are legitimately fighting Nazis. They are not. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show. Welcome back to The Jason Rant Show. We are live in the Online Trading Academy studio. I want to put a ribbon around our topic about Antifa violence and all the different right-wing groups that showed up over the weekend in Portland, from the Proud Boys to the Three Percenters to Patriot Prayer to everybody in between. I know Operation Cold Front was there as well. You know, I got a text that said I hit a nerve with him. It comes from the 253. Says, you refuse as a media personality to contort research or even speak to any of us to get your facts straight. The Washington 3% do not tolerate violence of any sort unless it's in self-defense, and anyone inciting violence is excommunicated. Now, I acknowledge that that's likely the truth. I totally acknowledge that. My point is, and it feels hard to dispute this if we want to talk about it reasonably, the folks on the right, generally speaking, who show up to these events are looking for a reason to defend themselves against violence. That is in part why you guys are holding these marches to begin with. You want to show the intolerance of the other side. You show up knowing that they're going to treat you like Nazis. You get in their face. You try to push them to defend their positions. In other words, you're trying to get a crazy person to defend their crazy behavior and their crazy thoughts. They don't do that. And what ends up happening, not every single time, in fact, maybe not even the majority of time, but what ends up happening in some cases is they then throw a punch or they push and shove. In worst cases, they end up sucker punching you, spraying bear spray in your face, throwing a rock at you. And then, of course, you fight back. And you're supposed to fight back at that point. I think people want to fight back. They use these instances every single time to show how violent and intolerant the other side is. I don't need you to show up to an event in Portland or anywhere else for me to realize that Antifa is crazy. I already know that. I already believe that. And if you stopped the antagonism here, if you stop intentionally provoking them, Antifa would become less and less and less relevant. But all you guys are doing in these cases, whether we're talking about the 3%ers or anybody else, all you're doing is empowering their craziness, their delusion. You think after this weekend, they're coming out and saying, oh man, we were wrong. There aren't literal Nazis in the streets. No, they're literally using this to justify their violence. And so to what end? To what end? The media is not going to cover this the way that you want them to. You think CNN is going to give this proper coverage? No, of course not. Conservatives on this are not going to change our minds, right? We may be a little bit more critical of the work that the right wingers are doing in these cases, but I already believe Antifa to be crazy. I'm listening to all of this audio, and they're very clearly crazy. So to what end? To what end are you doing this? I know that you're trying to make a point. I generally agree with your point, at least as it relates to the other side and the intolerance of Antifa. I totally agree with that point. You've already won that argument with conservatives. And showing up, knowing you're not going to get fair media coverage, do you think you're going to win over the folks in the middle? No, you're not. When you show up with a hammer, ready to fight, you look bad. In a worst-case scenario, you'll end up looking worse than the Antifa thugs. So why put yourself in that position? I'm not looking for a fight. Why'd you bring a hammer? I'm not looking for a fight. Why'd you bring a gun? Oh, well, open carry is legal. Yeah, I get that. I get open carry is legal. All that's doing, though, is provoking the other side, and it's imagery that's going to be used against conservatives. It's imagery that CNN's going to use to go after you and every other conservative, painting a very broad brush of what it is we stand for. And I think you're hurting not just your own cause, but the cause of the conservative movement. Antifa gets nothing out of this other than maybe sympathetic eyes and more propaganda for them to use about how they're going after the white Nazi, white nationalists, all the Nazis out there. So tell me exactly what was accomplished this weekend other than both sides looking to me incredibly foolish. I don't care that you were showing up for a barbecue. God bless you all. You didn't need to do it in that way. Yes, you 100% have every right in the world to do it. It doesn't mean it's the right move. I'd love to hear from you guys. Send me a text, and I acknowledge a lot of you guys completely think I'm wrong on this. That's okay. Unlike the left, I don't have an intolerance for opinions that disagree with me. So send me a text, 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. You can also hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com/JasonRants. We got a lot more to get to, including Moms Demand Action. They had a rally in Everett pushing for red flag laws. We'll tell you exactly why that's not going to do much at all. In fact, we've got them already in place here, and it's problematic. You're listening to The Jason Rants Show.